Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We need our own nation. That's no doubt. That's a fact. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. We thank you once again for calling in or logging in. However you are listening to this broadcast, be it by phone. Some of you may have called in at 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. Some of you have logged on to blogtalkradio.com/the new Black Panther Party. And of course, there will be plenty of you who will play the rebroadcast as every episode that we do is available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/the new Black Panther Party. However you choose to listen or are listening, you are greatly appreciated, and we give you a Black Power salute. We are broadcasting to you live here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, but we are broadcasting all over the planet Earth. So we always like to send a special shout out to our brothers and sisters in the mother continent of Africa and all of the many nations, many countries in Africa that are listening. As we know, it is indeed the late night hour. Black Power salute to you for tuning in. Same goes for you brothers and sisters that are listening in the UK and all across Europe and China and Australia and all of those parts of the that part of the planet we know as the late night hour. We still appreciate the fact that you are so committed, that you tuned in, and it is not unappreciated. Now to our brothers and sisters that are listening in the Caribbean islands and the Pacific islands and Central America, South America, and Mexico and Canada, all over the planet, we give you a Black Power salute and appreciate your support of the New Black Panther Party's nightly broadcast. And certainly last, but definitely not least, to all of our beautiful brothers and sisters here with us in the belly of the beast of America, KKK, we definitely appreciate your support. With that being said, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of information that we put out every night. Some nights we play rebroadcast because we are committed to putting out the proper propaganda on the nightly broadcast. So some of these broadcasts may be original content that you've never heard before as we reach out and we find information, facts that is relevant to our Black nation and to the defense of ourselves and our people and the globe around. As the planet Earth is under siege by globalists, wicked people who do not have the best interest of humanity at heart, in mind, at the forefront of any shape, form, or fashion, we understand that a global biological weapon was unleashed in the name of COVID-19, but even to make matters worse, another system of biological and chemical weaponry has been unleashed with these vaccines that are causing adverse reactions and deaths at an alarming rate, that are altering the genes, causing vaccine-induced illnesses. All kind of wickedness is at play. People are being forced to choose between keeping their jobs and taking this lethal injection. So much is going on. There's still a lot of ethnic cleansing and genocide going on by the state at the hands of the police. The police are still out of control. Race soldiers committing ethnic cleansing and genocide on Black people all across America, KKK. No system of justice exists in this country, be it the judicial, legislative, or executive branches. But unfortunately, this is a global issue. These are global issues. As other nations look at America and try to imitate it. But the hypocrisy of this demonocracy must be exposed. And we are proud to be an outlet of truth, an outlet that is non-compromised, that is not sold out, that is not sitting in the political purse strings or trying to be a part of this wicked establishment that speaks truth to power when it comes to freedom, justice, and equality. We are Black nationalists in the New Black Panther Party. We believe in self-sufficiency, self-determination. We are also clear that our causes and our issues are not independent of what is going on in the mother continent of Africa, as we are direct people of Africa in this diaspora of the western part of the planet here in America, KKK. So we make it a point that we tune in and find out what's going on the continent of Africa. We are not on the ground, but we count on and we reference the information that is coming out of Africa. So with that being said, on our Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, we do our best to give a Pan-African perspective. On Thursday nights, we have Brother Eugene Telford with the Pan-African Business Reports. And here on Tuesday night, we have been playing broadcasts from Pan-African TV, which is a network that broadcasts out of Ghana that has a lot of information that we need to know about. So we are going to play a clip from today from a program called Good Morning Africa, hosted by Pan-African TV. And it's going to give us some information that's going to be timely. Later on during the week, we will play other news outlets and other news platforms from the Pan-African TV. And we'll be able to decipher and discern the information for ourselves. But it's indeed a good source. So without further ado, let's hear the news from the continent. This is Good Morning Africa from Pan-African TV, the news broadcast that came out this morning. Black Power.
February 2022. Hey, I'm on now. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Good Morning Africa. Oh my goodness, the conversation has started even before I introduced my topic. But I'm excited about this one, and I hope you are excited as well. My name is Kwame Owusuna. So this is Dennis Provisemene here on Pan African Television, undoubtedly your most watched television in Africa. Yeah. Congratulations. I think an opportunity to congratulate Senegal. Congratulations to Senegal. They showed resilience. They showed patriotism. They showed telepathy. They showed love. And above all, they showed love for country. That is what we lacked when we went to AFCON. Yeah, Ghana lacked it. Ghana, we showed selfishness. We showed Tuno, all of those things. Hopefully, we'll be able to re-strategize and pick up from where we left off and build a formidable team which will bring us the World Cup. The last time we won the World Cup, I'm sure many of us were not even born. the African Cup. I'm sure many of us hadn't been born. 82. So 40 years ago. So for those 1992 born and 2020 born and 1993 born. Yeah. Right. So, good morning to you, Hadia Amdatu.
Good morning.
I trust you are well.
Very well.
The indefatigable.
Yes.
The unbreakable.
The incoming
flag bearer of
the Convention
CPP.
People's Party.
Shaking. When you say this, then people's bones are shaking.
It can be shaking. Because try and test it.
Yeah.
Proven record.
Absolutely. No bagawaya.
I'll continue.
Elena Madeko is gunning to leave the women's wing for the NPP. Good morning. How are you? This your smile. Hey, your smile. Hey, this morning you want to? No problem. I like the smile. That's all I want to say. Delali Sewako. Good morning. Delali is with the NDC's communications. Good morning. Why do you want to be taller than me?
it's about the way you're...
So it's not your fault.
But it's cool to be...
I love what you're wearing, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
You know how she sells cloth?
Yeah.
So you can actually purchase some from her.
I heard her this morning.
Yeah, so for those of you who need to buy proper African print, make sure you contact Hadia Hamdat Ibrahim. That's a side job, a side hustle. If you're into politics, make sure you do some side hustle. Don't try, you go far for this country.
my fruit juice and my
food. Oh, yeah.
I'll bring you one.
Please do.
People don't know.
Actually, sponsor the morning show with your fruit juice, they can all enjoy.
Do you know, there's a truck in Boga.
Yeah.
When we're kids. There's somebody, people don't know. Then behind it, but who will tell them?
Mali asks, yes, the football, yes. Let me just give you a little, so let's talk about football, yes, football. Black Stars.
So how did I ask?
Uh-huh.
3 weeks ago.
Yes.
On GT.
Uh-huh.
Advocated.
for Milo to go. Now that Milo is gone, we are still advocating. Hadja, have your
position. Yes, of course.
We are still advocating.
Management board, they should
Management
go.
Management board, away.
Mm. Even the GFA president.
GFA president and his whole team.
Yeah. Who took 13 players from his team? Add that one.
We want all, even the cleaners. everybody, even the rats and the cockroaches are here. Everybody should be.
Helen, do you know why I'm
and
not happy about something?
A brand new, because we are bringing in a brand new coach to come and so pretend with all these old people. And what you do is the fact that we appoint a coach. And then we appoint a deputy coach for him. And it is the same old Masomenu's.
To be honest with you,
every single human being there, including the rats, the cockroaches.
But do you know my take now?
No.
You know, when government wants to say something, then FIFA will say, yeah. Meanwhile, it is the government that is giving money for GFA to run. If they don't want government to interfere, then they should go and look for their money and run the GFA. That's number one. Number two, how can a GFA boss select 13 players from his own team? If you want to advertise your players, organize your African Cup or World Cup and take those players, not to the extent of the taxpayer, then you will go and advertise it. And you have the F1 to come and speak jazz to Ghanaians. You heard what he said that when he arrived. Hey, is it Kriko? What's it?
You
know there are two. One is deputy minister. That one is
that's Marco
Kriku.
That's tourism.
Tourism.
This one is Kate.
So you see, but the bottom line, people.
I like that. You know what I just said?
Yes.
The bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line.
The bottom line.
People should know that wearing the national outfit is an honor. Look at the way Senegal
wore it with pride.
With pride.
Yeah.
With they wore it.
But even Burkina Faso wore it with pride.
Well, but Burkina Faso disappointed me.
No, but at least they tried.
No, they didn't. No, there was something. Wait, there was something. That match was sold. Wallahi. Do you know what? Dollars. Do you know? Look at the way Burkina Faso were playing. I was applauding them. Maybe somebody was going to say, please, it's a host nation. If you go back to Burkina, it's the Giants. Maybe they will give you some bonus. That was what I was going through my mind. Because I didn't understand why. Three goals. And then within 3 minutes, somebody will just come and score 2 goals. I think they were just sleeping. No. They show some resilience from the beginning. But last week, you know, we are football lovers. It's because of the way Blackstar are behaving. That's why some of us have gone on some kind of sabbatical leave when it comes to football. But I think Ghana Football Association have disappointed Ghanaians. The players have embarrassed and disgraced Ghanaians. And I think we need a proper over. Do you know why we are suffering?
No.
The league is suffering itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a competitive league in this country again.
Yeah.
Unlike the 80s, the 90s, that I will go to Accra Sports Stadium, buy my ticket at 7 o'clock when Haas and Kotoko are playing. Go pray Zuhur, then I'll be praying Asar at the Accra Sports Stadium before the match. I was in Accra Sports Stadium when the stadium caved in. I'm not saying when the stadium disaster was. That was 1992. It caved in. Kotoko Haas. Or is it Ghana, Algeria? I think it's Ghana, Algeria, because it was a Black Star match. So you see, people have followed Ghana Black Star with their heart, and now we are following with our legs. Because if you follow with your heart, wallahi, you get attention. And I don't want to die now and leave my children. I've now started getting grandchildren. I want to take them far. Because you wouldn't understand the kind of... About Comoros! How do you call that country? Call it Ghana. To myself, what is this? If you don't want to play and you are called to play for the national team, just say you will not play. Let's build our local team. Look at Egypt. I think it's only 5 foreign players, but look at how they played. Just fine. And then we have good local players. Then people will come.
You know
this one will not pass the ball to
that is my
man.
Problem. When you say they don't
in 1980-something, when we went to Germany,
yeah.
And we scored the first goal, come and see the whole of Ghana, hey, that they scored us this one.
The Bokum disaster.
Why Bokum disaster? Because this person, I'll say it, because we were told,
when Abedi was playing football in his town, and people didn't know that he would come for that match. So Captain Yeboah was giving the captain ban. And then I learned when they entered the bus, all of them from the world down, they didn't know what to say to Tony Yeboah to hand over the ban to Abedi Pele, who has just arrived. You understand? Because that he brought all his cameramen and everything. He was going to Tony Yeboah is going to captain. Before I realized, he had to ask for his captain band, and then come and see. Tony Yeboah will get the ball. He won't pass it to Abedi. Abedi will get the ball. He will not pass. It's a fact. We saw it with our Kolokolo eyes. And this is what is happening now. You cannot be wasting the taxpayers' money, 20-something million. Dollars for Ghana, 25 for Ghana Blaster. Mm. When we need roads, when we need potable water, people are still drinking water with animals in the villages, and people are not thinking about that. We can suspend ourselves or stop going for national football matches
for the next 10 years.
For the next 10 years.
Who cares?
And build our distance. What is the meaning of this?
Let me add my own.
Please,
what is the meaning of this?
Add your own.
$25 million between African Cup and the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
$25 mm-hmm. dollar million. 1, 2, 3, 4, 25. We are spending it on what? A team.
Mm-hmm.
Black stars. We are not even spending it on some of the women. We are not spending some on the black princesses who went to win or went to win a match 3-4 days ago. Mm. Have you even heard about it?
No.
We are not spending it on the meteors. We are not spending it on anybody. Black stars. And we have been spending it on them for the past 40 years.
Did you almost?
40. No cut.
Pampering them.
No glory. Nothing. So every 4 years we'll be spending $25 million. Do you know what $25 million dollars can even do for the whole football fraternity in this country?
My dear, let's ask a question.
I mean, if we don't go for
the World Cup or is it African Cup, can we get the $25 million?
No. We don't get it.
So yeah.
If we don't go to World Cup, African Cup for the next 10 years, will Ghana collapse?
No.
So
the Nigeria took a decision and they were suspended from FIFA. You remember?
Mm. Let's save our money. Mm. And they use it for the next 10 years. Let's start looking for the 14-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, the 10-year-olds. Let's start training them. In the next 10 years, we can show up again. And I'm sure we would go for glory. That, look at what Senegal has done. As much as I'm congratulating them, I am ashamed for ourselves. All this pam, football nation, 40 years.
Oh.
No cup, nothing.
Nothing to show.
The last cup you won was in June. 1982. Me, I was born in September 1982.
Mm.
40 years.
Older than you.
And we are still spending money.
So you've not seen it?
No, I haven't. And everybody below me, we all have it.
$25 million. Look, I said it on the morning show one time. But I want to believe that it is the hypocrisy that is killing us.
And it will kill us.
And yes, and the fact that we are unable to speak truth. Look, we all watch this, and I'm sorry to say this, but I only support Black Stars because I'm Ghanaian.
Yeah.
But you take that out, and then there's no reason to support the Black Stars because there's no real commitment. I'm being honest with you. We all watched, and sometimes you get very upset when you mention the Ayew brothers. Everybody is going, hey. But the truth is that, Master, you watch the game. Their relevance was nothing, zero. You know what I'm saying? But we can't talk about it. Because you talk about it, people will come attacking
you. Talk about this, what will happen?
People will come attacking you. Do you know what they have done for Ghana football?
You know what my grandfather too has done for Ghana?
Yes.
For the independence.
Exactly. So that is the whole point, Delali.
So,
we need to speak truth to power.
Is it quite the day that Ghana played Comoros Island, I was actually somewhere in the Western North.
They had to put up my phone because my heart, I couldn't take
it.
I looked on the TV. Every TV in Panama can tell you she was put up.
I like what Hajia said. For some time now, anytime Ghana is playing a football match, the interest that I have in that match has completely waned down. Gone are the days when Ghana is playing a football match, I get so enthusiastic about it and get so excited about it. But you see, the Black Star in its current stage has been monetized. It has become playing for money rather than playing for the nation.
Playing for glory.
You understand? Because I keep on talking about the fact that, you see, we've gotten to a stage in our national life that we should be bold and master courage and speak the truth to power. When you go to other countries, Romario, the likes of Ronaldo, Bebeto and what have you, at a point in time, they were benched.
Yeah. Oh, that's not from.
You understand? At a point in time, Romario have to virtually plead with the Brazilian Football Association to have one more chance to wear the Brazilian jersey. But in our part of us, in Africa, specifically even in Ghana,
Carlos and those people,
even when it's so obvious that, listen, when we were playing the match, it was so obvious that, listen, our top lead striker, Ayew, was not clicking.
You mean Jordan?
I'm talking about
Jordan.
At a point in time, even Dede Ayew, at a point in time, who was playing that.
Irrelevant.
So you have someone like that, Isaac Fatal, that RTU, currently playing with, Dream FC, that young chap. Very, very hungry, very committed, dedicated, ready to do his best for our dear country. But you see, we're playing with names rather than playing with people who have the current form at that point in time. So, it's not, for me, I'm not surprised that Ghana was kicked out of the tournament. In fact, if we had even proceeded to the next stage of the tournament, it would have been a total disaster. So, it was better, some of us basically have to take the disappointment at early stage than to wait for the match to proceed to the other, what do you call it, stage of... Kwame, in as much as I agree with Hadja and my sister, that right there from the, what do you call it, the GFA president, even the cleaners and what have you, what about the ministry as well? Because, Kwame, in any country where you have a minister, where the Black Star have displayed such an abysmal performance, there's no way the minister will escape, what do you call it, any backlash that comes.
I agree with you.
I'm telling you.
But I think that the GFA is supposed to be an independent body.
Funny, hold on.
But of course, it is the ministry that superintends over its activities. I agree with you, which is why it is very difficult for government to interfere.
I mean, as we speak,
for instance, with the election.
When it comes to the replacement of what they call Milo, I mean, it was all over that there was a contention between the ministry and the GFA relative to who should succeed Milo.
Whether he should even go.
The Milo, what they call the ministry, was obviously for what they call the British Ghanaian born, what they call manager. The GFA was actually for Otuado.
You know
as
why?
We speak.
You know why?
Utuado,
the Ghanaian
player. Black
you know why? Because if it is that black Ghanaian Utuado, they can manipulate him. But if it is that strong-willed Ghanaian British born, nobody can manipulate
him. But you see, my point is this. When it comes to the selection of players into the national team, there are players who are playing in the current local league. They are far better than some of the former base players we have. And most of them who are playing in third division teams who are not even having
even
opportunity even to play.
But
no, I don't follow.
If you want to know the two states, if you want to know the two states of the Ghanaian football, just look around. Look at the big teams. How many Ghanaian players are playing in there? That's the state. Because at the time, you had Shile Muntari, you had Mike Inesia, you had Steven Apia playing for Fenerbahce, you had the other guy, Asamoah Gyan. And all those are like that. They were playing for all the top,
the point is that we had a quartet. That is, I'm talking about midfield. You have the Steven Appiah. You have the Steven Appiah. You have Michael Essien. You have Lai Kingston. At a point in
time. And then you brought in that German Ghanaian, fine handsome man.
Kevin. Agogo.
Agogo.
Ghana was
Ghana. As we speak, there has not been a deliberate effort. There has not been a deliberate strategy in respect to how
go we there, how Tamaklowe or half of folk.
There has not been any deliberate strategy to ensure that players that are basically fizzling out.
Let me tell you, even those times, if you saw the physique of the boys, you wouldn't be secondly. See, that number five guy, what's his name?
John Benson.
We should excuse ourselves.
Yeah, I think we should.
Because if you look at Africa, we have to go part of the excitement.
That's what I'm saying.
We still have those players, the John Mensah type, the Abedi Pele type.
They just don't want to
we still them. Have them in the quest.
Look at our local
league. Look at the young men who are getting in there.
I'm discouraged. So I'm not even watching.
But the point is,
who is going to, there's no deliberate plan. What is our 10-year policy for football in this country?
But this
I will talk about the women. It is the women who are always bringing us glory.
So
the black queen. So why don't you focus on them? The women don't have any logistics. They don't have
those that won at, what do you call
the Olympics?
The African Cup of Nations, whatever. And they were stranded. You remember? They were stranded.
They have to actually beg.
Yeah, they have to.
Now, on this issue about the minister and him bearing the brunt for what has happened, I think it is unfair. Look, if the minister cannot detect what happened, therefore, the minister is a representative of the government.
Mm.
So if the minister, the government through the minister, cannot determine what goes on in there, why is there
rules?
It's so annoying. Then they should look for their money, as Haji has said. The minister did his job. The government did their job by providing you with the money.
All right.
You were supposed to do your job by winning.
That's true.
So every single person in there, from the rat to the cockroach, everybody should go.
Thank you very much. Well, this is not the topic. This is the precursor to what you to expect this morning. Congratulations to Senegal. Let me, on this, at this juncture, I'll remind you that Tasako Valley has introduce something very, very, very yummy to everybody. Now, Tasako Springs is the newest addition to Tasako Springs. I mean, Tasako Valley's real estate development projects. Now, they have service plots that they are selling. So, for those of you who do not have, money to pay to make one-time payment, you can actually spread it and make those payments. So, they are offering you all the goodies. Now, before we start the conversation for today, let me go for this quick commercial break. Just watch the advert. Make sure you pay their number. Call them and begin to invest in your future. It's very, very important. I've been saying this, that you need to make sure that you invest in properties in this country. Because where we are going now, Charlie, if you don't have your own place to live, in the next 5 years, you can't pay rent. Rent will choke you. I'm telling you, rent will choke you. So make sure you call them. And then oftentimes people have said, Tasako is very expensive. That is why they have created this avenue or this platform for everybody to make sure that they are able to purchase a plot of land or to be able to buy the unfinished. Yeah. So let's watch this advert. We'll be back to continue with the conversation.
Tasako Estates, home to Accra's most beautiful and luxurious homes, presents its newest addition, Tasako Springs. A premium master planned community of service plots surrounded by an exhaustive list of amenities. The gated community of Tema to Accra Motorway presents you the finest opportunity to own a land that suits your preferred size, budget and payment terms. Tasako Springs is open to you for development. Our on-site sales executives are ready. Call on 055-659-2658.
Commercial break. So I just told you that Tasako has something very, very juicy for all of you. Now make sure you call the number 055-659-2658. They have premium service plots and it's located at a prime location. So make sure you call them. 055-659-2658. Let's come back and discuss some issues here. This one, we are talking about Mali, and we've already spent a great deal of time, but it's important. We needed to deal with Black Stars, and I'm happy we've dealt with Black Stars. Mali asked UEMOA to lift inhumane sanctions. That's a story by the Daily Graphic newspaper. Big demo against E-Levy to rock Accra. The inside government will appeal Moody's credit rating, finance ministry, and we will end the conversation with the issues of rent vis-a-vis our salaries. It's very, very important. Ajay is smiling, Charlie. Even though Ajay has her owner, but she's been paying, helping people pay their rent, but she's feeling it. They say, Okoko membre, Omobofos membre. Anyway, so let's go to Mali. Ajay, I think you've read the story, so you can kickstart the conversation for us.
Good morning to our cherished viewers out there, and good morning to my co-panelists, and your good self, Kwame. As for the coup matter, I think we have spoken about it.
Yeah.
And then we said the coup makers will not be the people to suffer, but the ordinary people of Mali. And I don't really know, but the junta, they didn't know that maybe they would be facing some sanctions and they took over power. They should know that. Because if there are protocols and conventions that people have signed on to, saying that nobody should, I was even told that, no, I watched one, I've forgotten the person, talking about the protocols and conventions that they've signed as AU, as ECOWAS, no country should tamper with their constitution, no president should amend the constitution to go third time,
absolutely,
and so on and so forth. But people will sit aloof and see people doing that. And then you have people who don't have the moral right to condemn coup, condemning coup, because they are also a product of coups, or maybe product of a changing of their constitution. Even if the constitution says that you can go for 3 terms, and then maybe your parliament can amend your constitution, and there are some conventions and protocols that you have signed that nobody should amend his or her constitution. Now, concerning the money issue, we had a transitional team that was working the country to a constitutional rule, only for this group of people to come and also take over, forgetting that there are dire consequences when you do that. You see, that is why I'm saying leadership in Africa should show modesty in such a way that no soldier or any group of people can take arms and start overthrowing legitimate or maybe transitional a team. Now, this thing that they are talking about is about some money issue. Definitely, financial institutions will not deal with military junta.
Of course.
Because if we enter any agreement with you, who is going to pay those kind of things? Unless, of course, maybe the constitution that they said they are rewriting, maybe any debt that is incurred by the military junta, the subsequent, maybe the people going to take over are going to pay. Any financial institution will be scared to maybe loan or give any support to Mali. So instead of them saying they are going to stay for 4 years, they should rather cut their stay to maybe 6 months, 1 year. And then people will see that they are very serious. They have a transitional program, a very comprehensive timetable towards multi-party democracy. As I said the other day, if this current junta think that they want to sort of untie their rope from the French dominance, they can resign from military and then contest. So that kind of idea that I've seen that they put out there can materialize. Because even if you don't do that, and then maybe subsequently you hand over, and then the people are also doing the same thing, you still have the this thing to say that no, they're not doing the right thing, we are coming to take over again. So if you think you have the best idea, the good idea, program that is very comprehensive, that can move Mali to the next level from abject poverty, then fine, do that. Because if you are still wearing your military attire, it will be difficult for people to do business with you. It's simple.
Me, that's how I see it. I'm just summarizing my understanding of their frustration. You understand? Because people are not ready to do business with you. They won't give you their money. They even say it seems they couldn't pay some money or something. Mm-hmm. That is why. But they are saying that the organization have been inhumane towards the good people of Mali. But let's look at the brighter side. What can we do to alleviate the suffering of the Malian people? And you can't do that without passing through the people who are in charge now. So, ECOWAS, AU, let's look at our structure properly. So that if we are going to do something, because the other day I heard Uncle, and it's true, I think it's 15-member state, isn't it? And about 4 are on suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So it's left with about 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are saying that there's another coup that is coming. I said, back to sender, because we don't want any coup. And you know, these people who can predict and foresee, coming, I want to wake up one day. Then they will say that this is what Ghana, or this is what Africa will do, and they will prosper. Always prophesizing doom, 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 doom. Why? You can't prophesize that, oh, this is your goal that you are not benefiting from. Let's do it in such a way that people will even say that those who bought all their machinery are going to leave it in Ghana government care. They will only take some profit because of their investment. I want to see a pastor or a malam or any soothsayer who can say that. Because they always predict doom, doom, doom. Because after the Burkina Faso one, I read that some sheikh or something is saying that there's another coup coming. And I've never heard them saying that this is what we are going to do and coup will not happen. You understand my point? Why is it that every day they are predicting doom, 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 doom? So it's incumbent on the Malian people, and for that matter, the military junta in Mali, to look at their timetable again. Because they are talking about 4 years. So it's like they've elected themselves. 4 years. Because it's 4 years, 4 years, 4 years. What are they going to do that will take 4 years? That they've not been able to do maybe within, because the transitional team were just almost there. February, this month, would have been the election. And they truncated it by saying that maybe the transitional team are not doing the right, and I don't know what they were doing that they were not happy about. Fine. If you remember, even SMC 1, SMC 2, during Achampong's time, there was a preparation. When SMC 2 came, they said they were preparing the country towards multi-party democracy, only for June 4th to do what? To happen. And June 4th came, later on, there was Liman, and then when Liman just started taking off, he bought ships, aeroplanes, and everything. Ghana was almost taken off economically. And then, boom, 31st December. And people can sit and say that we should credit the democracy that we are enjoying to Jerry Rawlings. I totally disagree. Because in the first place, who truncated it? So that junta in Mali, they didn't have any business to truncate the transitional provision that was going on in Mali. Now you are saying that it's an inhumane treatment that the monetary system are doing. You didn't know that.
Mm.
And you came, you didn't know that.
Right.
You see, it's the people who are suffering. And then when they do that, look at this women and children on the streets of Accra. Have you seen them? Kumasi the same. Mm-hmm. I learned they are from Niger and is in Mali. And then we've just left them. Yesterday, around the radio station, that is where Nanaba is, what's the name of them? GH1. No, GH1.
Mm.
I stopped in the traffic and called one of them. And I asked her in Hausa, if you are going to ease yourself, where do you go to? He said, she pointed out, there's a hilly place like that. That's where they go to defecate. And we are watching them. We are watching them. Why is all this happening? Because bad leadership in the sub-region has made some people refugees. Meanwhile, they are not recognized refugees. So we can get rid of them from the streets of Accra. Because they're not recognized. If you are going to be a refugee, you should register with the CR. You see? So please, let's show good leadership in the sub-region in Africa so that we don't have those people coming to take part in the little that we are also enjoying in Ghana. So for me, Mali Janta, they should assure African Union, AU, African Union, and then ECOWAS, they should revise their timetable with the details that they gave. They can shorten it so that the good people of Mali will not continue suffering
okay.
because the Jantas are right. in charge.
Right. Ellen, I just have mission points on the fact that military Jantas are obviously not good because it truncates the flow of proper democracy. But oftentimes, I think that we look at the end result as opposed to what occasions the end result. Because there wouldn't be any coup, in my estimation, if things are done properly. If our understanding of what democracy is benefits the true beneficiaries of that system of governance. And so, in as much as yes, military or militarism is bad, we also ought to look at the flip side, what actually accounted for the current, you know, military junta that we have in Mali, in Guinea, and in all of these other Francophone countries, which have toppled their government. Because they have valid reasons, really. And why is it that ECOWAS always sit aloof, wait for these things to happen before they place sanctions on these people, when they fail to address those fundamental issues which lead the people to embark on such coup d'etats?
Good morning once again, and let me send my greetings to all my women in Ghana and all the NPP women. And we are getting ready. Next week we are starting our polling station elections. So I will entreat all, especially the women, to please put themselves out there for election. Let us get involved in the affairs of our political party, because that's where you start getting involved in the affairs of Ghana politically. The last time a coup happened in Ghana was 40 years ago. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that should be the 1982 coup by ex-president. Yes. Ex-president Rawlings. And did the coup solve all our problems? I'm just asking a question.
No, it didn't.
It didn't. Mm-hmm. In fact, for me, I believe that it rather deepened our woes. Why am I saying that? Because when a military junta is in office, you and me will not be sitting here having this discussion. The 11 years that Ghana was under the last coup, how many media houses were able to operate? So how many of us, I was very young, in fact, I think I was even born 3 months before the coup. So most of us, we grew up in that system where we didn't even notice that there was something going on. But those of you, Hajia and the rest, who were
yes.
old enough, if there's a coup in Ghana here, let me be quite specific.
People don't know.
You will not get the opportunity to sit here and say what you want to say.
Of course.
You will not get the opportunity to sit on social media and rant. By ranting, getting the opportunity to say what you want to say, telling government in the face that what you're doing is wrong, is all part of the democracy. We will not get it 100%. Let's not forget that our democracy is just about 30 years old. The people we are copying, the Americans, the British, how long have they been running this? America here, they are going to how many years? 200, 300 years. And you think when they started off, they also didn't have all these issues that we had? I'm sure their case was even worse. But the point is, they decided to stay with the roots. And that was the problem with us in West Africa and the problem in Africa. We cannot decide what we want to stay with. If we want to stay with the military juntas and the coups, let us stick with them and run the full course. If we want to stay with democracy, let us stick with democracy and run with the full
what
course.
What is our understanding of democracy?
Whatever it is, whatever the democracy, yes, but then the fact that you're able to say some, and I'm able to say some, that is what is building this country.
Does it translate to development?
It does.
Because
if it didn't, when you were in the... Aside, that's it. So the first question I asked you was, when was the last time a coup happened in Ghana? If the coup leader decides that I'll use the national resources to develop my part of the country, where I come from, what can you say about it? Would you even have a voice to talk about it? But as it is now, right now we are debating about e-levy. We have a right to debate. You can say what you want to say. He can say what he wants to say. Hajia can say what he wants. I can also say what I want to say. Whether the government decides to take your opinions or not, that is why you have the right to say it. And on Friday, I hear there's going to be a demonstration. If it were under a coup, will you be able to go for a demonstration against anything? So for me, the better option is always a democracy where you can say what you want to say, I can say what I want
to
say.
Use your thumb.
A democracy where in 4 years, you can move a government.
With your thumb.
Change the whole system in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Every 4 years, we have an opportunity as a people to change the government that we don't like. That is far better than a military coup where you get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people and their cronies who are benefiting. In the last 40, 30 years that we went through a coup, let us go check the history of Ghana. Which people benefited from the coup? Which people have always benefited from coups? So if you're a young person, and because you haven't seen a coup like I haven't seen a coup, I also haven't seen one. But reading from history, I think it is better we have this democracy that we are having. So that you can sit on Facebook, you can sit on Twitter, you can sit on Instagram, you can come to a radio station and tell the government of the day in the face.
Your peace of mind.
So
your
peace of mind.
So
now let me go to Mali.
No, I get it. But in your estimation, the only reason why you choose democracy over militarism is because you will be allowed to express.
Because
it.
I can tell you my piece of mind. Yeah.
But
I can change you.
Yeah, but
if the military decides
where...
to misbehave,
yeah.
How are you going to change that?
Yeah, but
unless you have another coup.
This your ability to express yourself.
Yes.
What has it resolved?
It has resolved in the fact that I can organize myself. Be Ellen, be captain of loyal ladies. I have the opportunity to organize young women, at least in my bono.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and organize them to change the government that I feel is not doing the right thing. And that is what we did in 2016.
What
progress has it
been
brought to your
I'm
life?
I'm asking this question because you are talking about the fact that
so
military junters address...
Do a comparison. Mm. The last 11 years that were under the PNDC rule,
yes.
Compared to the last 30 years
yes.
that we have been under democratic rule, which one is better?
The only difference is you are allowed to express yourself.
Apart
but no real
that,
development.
Oh, that's really
no
wrong.
Real development.
The PNDC and what I have read, I wasn't there, well, I was born, but I didn't experience it. What I read, what happened in the 11 years of the PNDC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying PNDC because that is what I saw.
Yeah, but you can, you
in
can talk about...
In 11 years
you
of PNDC.
Yeah, but you can talk about instances where...
Years,
I'm not supporting coup d'etat, but you can
but
also talk, look at...
30 years of democracy, where you have a right...
Mm-hmm.
We all do have a right every 4 years to tell the government that we don't want you to go. The next person comes. You have a right, and gradually we are all moving. It is better than being under a military junta where you cannot talk.
But
you cannot go.
About,
you cannot
about,
change.
No, it is about leadership. If you look at the Trump post regime, I mean, most of the things that we've seen.
Didn't they have problems with the Trump regime?
So obviously, but don't you have problems with the democratic regime?
And that is what I'm trying to say.
So
it's better.
Yes.
It is better to have a democratic regime
yes.
where every 4 years you can change than have a coup where in 2 years, 3 years, people are killed, people are changed. That is not right.
But even in democracy,
all the
things that you are talking about, even in democracy, they happen.
It will continue.
The only thing you are talking about is transition.
None of the two systems is excellent.
So the point is that what works best
what
for the African?
What works best for Africa?
For the African, yes.
No, I'm not talking about the African. I'm talking about Ghana.
Yes.
What works best for
Ghana
us, in my estimation, is the democracy. You know why? Instead of lining up your leaders and shooting them and killing them, it is better you line them up at the polling station and use your thumb to change them.
Yeah, because they don't fear. They know that in the next 4 years, I'll come and spend your money.
And so you prefer to kill them.
Hold on. Why not? If that resolves, the point is that at least it brought some level of fear. It brought some level of fear, and there was discipline. Right, your democracy has created discipline in this country.
What discipline was there?
Look at how your drivers are driving on your road.
What discipline was there?
Look at how people are dissipating and urinating everywhere.
During the military junta, was there any discipline? Didn't people still misbehave? It is better that you change with your thumb than to kill people. Remember, the people who were killed, their children are still alive. Their family members are still alive.
Dubai is not democratic, but it's far better than your country.
Try it and see.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's about leadership. It's about people who are in power.
That's true. They are not suffering from this. Their wives are not suffering from this.
Helen will not
kill
me.
Because it is the natural resources that are being used to take out the queen.
Absolutely, yes.
It is the young people of Mali.
Mm-hmm.
It is the ordinary people of Mali who are suffering.
Who are suffering.
And that is it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it is better you, as I said, it is better you have a say in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if in 3 years you are not happy with the NPP government,
mm-hmm.
nothing stops Ghanaians from changing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
If in 3 years you are excited with the NPP government, nothing stops Ghanaians from asking them
to continue. I prefer this Abojo-Bojo democracy than military.
Than lining up your leaders and then you come in and you do what?
You see, I think that we need to set the record straight. I'm not advocating for What I'm saying is that in comparing our democracy...
Can you tell us something that you think...
No, I'm saying that in comparing our democracy, okay, in its truest form, to militarism or coup d'etat, in its truest form, I don't see any difference. The only difference is that in democratic dispensations, you are allowed to express yourself. But as to whether that translates to development, it's another question. Because you have countries where there are military leaders. Why? Gaddafi was a military leader. But at the time, Libya was far better than what they have now. And that's the point I'm making, that it depends on who is behind the steering wheel and what his policies
are, and
whether or not he's committed.
They didn't take their change.
Absolutely.
My point is,
yes.
Whether you agree with the current dispensation, at least with the democracy, you have the option.
But democracy is the reason why they do the things they do. Because they know that every 4 years, people will get an opportunity to go and vote for them and vote them out. And they know definitely that they will come back again. That's the whole point.
Why must it be that way?
Yeah, but that's
so
what
we have to change it.
That's your democracy.
But it is far better than lining people up
That's better. That's true. That's true. And I agree with you on that. But that's also an example for people to see. That when you dissipate public funds, you'll be dealt with.
By who? The person who is dealing with it. The person will come and do what?
They will do the same thing to you. Ellen, don't mind me.
We have the benefit of history.
Yeah, of course.
Regardless of how much you want, it's condemnable. But, you know, sometimes I like what you just said. That what is the difference between a military regime and the current practices? I've heard my two sisters hijack sister Helen trying as much as possible to create an impression that indeed what is currently happening in the name of coup is condemnable and it ought to be condemned. I will not sit down here and justify coup of any form. The truth is one. You see, for the past one decade in Mali, I think they've experienced three forms of coup d'etat, 2012, 2020, 2021. It tells you the level of fragility when it comes to their democracy. It tells you how stable their country is. It tells you the level of kind of citizens that they have who are not ready to have patience to tolerate certain things. And I believe that if the kind of volatile situation that currently exists in Mali or how their citizens basically respond to certain things are similar to what Ghanaians are in our demeanor, disposition and our nature, I believe that we would have probably done worse than what they are doing now. But I mean, you see, all the time, ECOWAS is so much in a hurry to issue a statement, condemn a coup. But you see, the question we have to ask ourselves is, ECOWAS itself, are they up to the tax? Because you cannot applaud somebody like a regime in Cote d'Ivoire, where the president have to change the constitution.
Togo, go to Togo.
Go to Togo, go to other West African countries.
Go to Uganda.
And these are people that you sit in an ECOWAS meeting with them. If you are not bold enough and look them in the face and tell them that what you have done is not different from the coup that has been staged in other countries, they have no moral right to condemn other countries when they stage a coup. Because a coup of any form, whether you have changed the constitution to entrench yourself in power, in itself is a coup. Because you stand under the constitution. You've abused your presidency by violating the constitution. And come and see, when my sister was speaking,
Ellen.
My sister Ellen was speaking, you know, he said a lot of things relative to the fact that what happened when we're during the era of military regime and what have you. I believe my sister here, in all humility, was accept the fact that the coup that happened in Guinea was their life that was lost. I want to ask you, Kwame.
No.
The lesson that we had in this country in 2020, how many people died?
A lot.
Do the juxtaposition. If my sister sitting down here, imagine any of his relatives happening to be among those who lost their life during the 2020 lesson. And he compared that to what happened, the bloodless coup that happened in Guinea. Which of them would he opt for? Abbas, a young guy who just got married, died. The wife, a young lady, is now a widow. Go to Techiman's house. 8 people were killed gruesomely, unarmed, in a democratic dispensation, presided over a man who were told he's a human rights activist. So just compare the two. So a bloodless coup that happened in Guinea, no life was lost. A democratic process in Ghana, 8 lives were lost in Tejima's house. So, you see, as a Christian, that I consider the life of a human being to be very paramount, I cannot sit down here and applaud a democratic regime that after a democratic process, 8 people's lives were lost because a group of people clad in military uniform stole a collation center, shot people who were armed, and they were killed. So how do I sit down here, regardless of which of the religious say that I belong to? And when you say that, it's something that we should applaud because it's a democratic dispensation. That is why the issue you raised becomes so pertinent here. That we have a democratic dispensation in other African countries. Where is he? Was he not granted a bill by a court of competent jurisdiction, which is part of a democratic tenet? Where is he? I'm not a lawyer, but when you read the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, we are all equal before the law. When the judiciary has made a pronouncement, what has happened to Gigorafoko? Imagine my two sisters sitting there. Gigorafoko happened to be one of your relatives. Would you applaud the kind of democracy that we are practicing in this country? What happened to Ahmed Swale? We are practicing democracy. We are applauding ourselves. We are singing praises to ourselves. Oh, we love the kind of democracy that we're experiencing in Ghana here. A journalist has conducted an investigation, exposed the rot as far as our football regime is concerned. Somebody on a live television threatened that journalist. The next moment, that journalist was murdered in a cold blood. Is that the kind of democracy we are talking about? Many students of political research must start conducting a serious research about the kind of democracy we are talking about and compare it to the kind of what was happening during the military regime. Because I cannot sit down here.
But you know, I take exception.
Oh, Hadia,
the kind of comparison that if we are related to this thing, we'll sit down here.
I'm very serious.
You understand?
Okay.
I'm from Bonga.
So,
Grigori was my
Kwame, in concluding, my argument is simple.
I have seen a coup happen in Burkina Faso. I've witnessed a coup happen in Guinea. And I'm yet to read any accounts of how many lives were lost. But I've served in this country. I was actively involved in the 2020 election. I saw what happened in Techiman South. I saw what happened in Abilikuma Central.
I come from Techiman South. I was there.
I saw the people that were murdered. The government has not dismissed the fact that people were killed at a collision center. So I will not sit down here in as much as I will condemn any coup of any form unreservedly happening in any part of the continent. I also want to bring to our attention that in our democracy that we are practicing, there are instances of the things that has happened under this democratic dispensation. It's worse off than some of the things that we have witnessed in a military world they call it takeover. Right. That's what I'm just saying.
Well, thank you. But I think Helen wants to react to some of the things you said. You said you were in Techiman's fact.
Yes.
So you want to react to
it? You know, I was born in Techiman.
Absolutely.
And so this particular 2020 election, I was there.
Okay.
And so I did see exactly what happened. I don't think this is the right place or the right time to talk about what is happening. The cases are in court. Investigations are going on. So for me, I don't like discussing things like that. Sometimes you cloud the whole thing. But what I would like to say is that definitely those who did what they are not supposed to do are standing trial. And that is what we do in a democracy. When you do what is wrong, you stand trial. We don't line you up and shoot you without asking questions. And that's where I'm coming from. That between a military regime, where we lined excellent soldiers, you might have a problem with who they are. They were right from Nkrumah till now. There's no way you can convince me, Ellen, I'm also Suya Deku, of Kwewa Betifi and Techiman.
That
a coup or a military regime is better than a democracy. Because all those people who were shot and killed, did we hear their side of the story? Did we hear from them? Or we assumed that they were corrupt and they were shot and killed? The benefit of a democracy is that even in a trial, even when you are accused of something, even when you have committed murder, and we all know that you have committed murder, you are given the opportunity to say your side of the story. And that is all I'm saying. And when it happens, it is the women and the children who suffer.
You see, Kwame.
Usually, the men, you can defend yourself.
Hmm. Kwame. Kwame. Mm-hmm. One thing we should understand is that we are politicians. So mm-hmm. The people die during maybe demonstration, elections. We have to be very careful the way we approach them, especially when we have the opportunity. Because maybe somebody has mourned, the person is sitting down, then we trigger the sorrow again. Let me tell you, I'm from Bolga. I was born and bred in Bolga. I know what happened. I know Grigory Afoku and I know the guy who was, the acid was poured on him. I'm telling you, it is not a story those of us from there want to discuss. At all. Because you don't even know what to say, because all of them, their family are very active in Bolga. They are very active in Bolga. And I can tell you on authority, even today, if Grigory is released, he's better being kept than being released to go to Bolga. Unless, of course, maybe they are going to change another place for him. It's still high alert there. So that is why me, I don't like talking about this particular issue because they are all close to me. The two. Grigory, I went to school with him. With his brother, they call him John. They say, "Pam, there," when we're children, they would do some stuff. So please, we know people die during elections. People were shot during elections. And I can say, me, Kwame Nkrumah time there, I wasn't there. But I heard about bomb throwing and people losing their limbs and everything. But we've also seen during this, our 30 to 20-something years in democracy, we've seen what has happened. I think I'll blame all to the doorsteps of the judiciary. You understand? Even though we said the wheel of justice grinds slowly, but this one is too slow. It's too slow. What kind of investigation? Then you do if it's armed robber, or if it's somebody who went to steal goat, the judgment will just come, bam, 4 years. When I was in school in Kumasi, somebody stole bulb. That time it was about 40 pesos or something.
The judge jailed the guy 4 years. Then you look at 4 years old. So what later when I was asking that, because maybe the judge might be very angry because Bob there, Okuwiai. But look at Bob. The person is going 4 years. And an investigation of corruption, an investigation of murder, and so on and so forth, will be taken like snail pace. We don't understand. So people will have the opportunity to say what they want because people are sick and tired of the way we are running our judiciary in this country. Because if somebody takes money, the person can even come and decide how or when he wants to pay. But if somebody goes to steal goat, you take the person to jail. What if that person to the family can pay the amount of that goat? There must be fair and just. So this is why we find ourselves in this heated argument this morning.
Well, thank you very much. The argument indeed has been very heated, but I'm happy with the outcome of this debate. Clearly, we are learning. We'll continue to learn. Maybe I should organize a public lecture.
We didn't talk about the rent.
We are not done.
Uh-huh.
We're actually moving on to the next topic.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're moving on to, the next topic. I said that maybe I should organize a public lecture. You know, so that we clearly look at the two systems of administration. Which one is better? Who? Democracy.
Look, as for me, I've told you, the fact that you have the opportunity to defend yourself.
We want to organize a public lecture and look at autocratic democracies and coup d'etat. Because some democratic leaders are very autocratic.
So you change them.
And I hide it behind the cloak of, how would you change them? Well, you see, the reason why I'm quiet and I'm decided to be mute about this is that the NDC is very convinced in their heart of hearts that they won the 2020 election. Very convinced.
Mm-hmm. But the MPP too are very convinced that we won in 2020.
That is the problem.
Yes, we are both convinced.
You know what I'm coming from.
Exactly. You know what makes them.
So hold on. So the point is that if indeed the NDC thought they had won the 2020 election, but because the government in power, in their estimation, had all the arsenals of the
state.
Hold on.
No, but
that's the whole point. And therefore, use them to their advantage and won against the will and the wishes of the people. Then how different is this from democracy?
Let me tell you the difference.
So that's
the difference is that both NDC and MPP, both leaders, or both sides understand that if a court decides, or you put in your evidence, I put in my, and the court decides that it is party A that has won. We all agree. We have both decided that the final arbiter is the court.
In the 2012 elections, when the matter went to court,
yes.
What did the NDC say about it? What did the MPP then say?
Whatever it was that it was said.
What did the NDC say about the court?
No matter what they did, or no matter what
but
they did,
you know,
when the court
you
said
know, for
it
Africa,
is
for Africa it? To move forward, and for that matter, the sovereignty. No, see, the issue is that let's not even talk about coup. Let's stick to our democracy.
What
but I think, I'm coming to that. Let me say something. Look, we have a system that is not very healthy. Winner take all. That is what is killing us.
Yeah.
But look at a place like Nigeria, even though their system is either federalism. Every governor has a budget to develop his or her state.
Yeah.
But Ghana, when a president comes, he will appoint all the MMDCs, isn't it? All the regional ministers. We went for a workshop. The workshop we went.
Yeah, last week.
When I said that example, one lady that was on a panel with, she said, "Oh, Hajia, wallahi Allah, what in Nigeria? This can never happen in Nigeria. President appointing a governor." I was just giving them some example, and I said, "Yes, we have MDCs, we have ministers. The minister is in charge of maybe Greater Accra or something." So the only ministers the government in Nigeria can is maybe the sector ministers. But as for the governor, House of Representatives, so you see, people from opposition party can have a say in maybe the governorship of a state where they have their House of Representatives and what have you. Just like how we were saying that MMDCs should be elected. You see, this
fire in the country would have maybe gone down. Because, you know, maybe Kumbungu or maybe Safulugu, CPP can win the MCE there. So CPP people know that, oh, we too, we have somebody that is part of the governance system. You see, if we can look at our governance system again, I think it will bring some kind of respite
right.
to the heat that we've been in.
Okay. Well, Adia, thank you. Thank you. But I still want to understand the African definition of democracy.
We are now getting our own. Eventually,
that is precisely what I want to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll get there. But that, we have to go through
still
the
in the what's the word I'm looking?
Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis. It's perfect. No.
Because it cannot be perfect.
That would be hypocrisy.
Because the understanding of democracy in Ghana even. Oh, can we monitor me? Then you come and sit on TV, you saw the president, no solution, nothing. And they say that's democracy.
No! That is not.
And then somebody will drive on the shoulders of the road. Okay,
now they're arresting, you know, even MC has been suspended.
No, I'm just saying. You understand? The people openly can dedicate, nothing happens to them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
IGP, good
democracy.
Morning. Dr. Dampare, Akufu Dampare.
So maybe we need to understand. And I remember an interview which was granted for Kagame, I think in Germany or so. And they said that, people are saying you're not president. They said, what's democracy? Your understanding of what democracy is in your country
is
not the understanding we have in our country.
Yes, I was.
So the fact that you change your government every 4 years does not mean that yours is a better democracy than mine.
Do
you know what I'm saying? So
once
it is working and the people are benefiting from the fruit of that exercise.
There's no patriotism.
Why not? There's no patriotism. Because of the over-reliance and over-entrenchment, if you will, of what we describe as the principles of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. Because of democracy, people actually openly flout laws and get away with it.
Let's hurry up and talk about the rent.
Let's move on and look at this big demo against E-Levy. Ellen, I'll start with you. E-Levy. There's a demonstration that is happening tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow or Friday?
Thursday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, actually. No, so Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
NDC, together with some civil society organizations, I think Justice for Something. What? CSG.
Oh, you know, there will be creation of new ones.
Some concerned students association or something like that. And then there's unemployment, something. People have all come together.
But unemployment, you don't even have money.
Cool. Yeah. Cool people are
unemployed, something. They've all come together and they are staging a demonstration against the E-Levy. Ellen, let me start with you on this one.
Oh, they have a right to speech.
Because we are never crafty.
Why not? I'll be the very, very last person to say that they shouldn't stage a demonstration. In fact, tomorrow morning, if you wake up and you don't like the shape of your husband's nose, you can have a demonstration. If you wake up and you don't like what is going on in your community, you can have a demonstration. All you have to do is to properly inform the police. You are not asking permission from the police. You are informing them that you are going to do this. And get the ground rules straight. Why not? I mean, every single thing that every single Ghanaian has against something the government is doing, something the assembly is doing, even something in your own family life, if you are not happy with it, please go ahead, demonstrate. Vent out your frustrations. Tell what you want to tell. Let the whole world know that you were given the opportunity and you spoke and you are spoken well. So I wish them well. I wish them Godspeed. I hope they will do it. They will observe all the COVID protocols. They would make sure that they don't get hurt. They should do everything right that they have to do. Why not?
Therefore says, well, so long as you have air running through your lungs, and so long as you are displeased about all that is happening, even if you don't like your husband and you want to demonstrate, you have the right to demonstrate. If you want four children and husband intends to give you just one, you can demonstrate. So we all have just any idiot can go to court. Anybody can organize a demonstration.
That's just your interpretation. I am saying that they are Ghanaians. They have the right
to demonstrate.
Yeah. So it is good that they are taking on that right and they are demonstrating. So they should let us know what they are doing. Definitely they should have a communique stating why they are demonstrating and who they are sending it to. So they should do all that.
I'm sure government would look at it.
But that's for them demonstrating. Why not?
Yesterday I watched your press conference.
You're one of the organizers.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's actually an active member of the demonstrators.
Oh, okay. All right.
He will be demonstrating.
This whole thing about demonstration has basically come out as a result of this government government desire to impose this draco.
You know, before you even go on there, can I ask you a question? Why is the NDC so opposed to the ELV?
I remember
that you people introduced that.
Kwame,
we are bringing another tax, and you people are saying, what will you do with the tax? And then the likes of Mr. Kwesi Pratt and Kufuado, Kweku Bako, and a few others, Sheshe and all of them, if I was any part of it, they were demonstrating against them. But you people said, you've never heard it in Butiate.
Kwame, I believe by the time I'm done with my...
I will understand that.
You understand where I'm coming from.
Convince me, because I have a strong mind.
Kwame, you see, in fact, this is the first time I'm basically commenting as far as media engagement is concerned relative to this ELV debacle or this thing that has been going on. Kwame, I've heard a lot of justification from government as to the reason why they intend to impose this ELV. I mean, I listened to the Minister for Information who said there will be no salary for government workers if ELV is not is rejected. President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo himself is talking about the fact that free water electricity caused the state to be in its current situation, and for that matter, that is the reason why we have to impose the ELV. I've heard the finance minister also talk about the fact that, in fact, Ghana will go back to IMF if we decide not to accept the ELV. I listened to the minister for defense. I mean, he said the only way the president can stop, you know, hiring this hyper luxurious private jet is when we impose the ELV. I've listened to the finance minister talking about the fact that the ELV has what it takes to create almost about 11 million jobs. I'm talking about the fact that without the ELV, farmers will be deprived of fertilizers. I've heard Akunyo Markins also talk about the fact that without ELV, NAPCO people will be out of job. And I keep on asking myself, how much is Ghana going to get from the ELV? That's all the ministers, government appointees, including the president himself. It's creating an impression that without ELV, this country cannot go forward. I mean, but in all this, you're a journalist. I mean, I'm here to hear the vice president of the Republic of Ghana comment with respect to this ELV.
He has nothing to say. Why should he?
Why? He's the head of the economic management team. He's the one that granted an interview on, PCFM, and made it categorical.
What do you want to
that is unconscionable.
What do you want him to say?
No, I want him to speak.
Why?
He's the head of the economic management team. He made a series of statements prior to the 2016 election. Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia must speak. He granted an interview on PCFM. And he made a categorical statement that he thinks is unquestionable.
You are trying to force the horse.
No, I'm not forcing the horse. I'm putting the facts. These are facts. Mm. These are no opinions I'm expressing. He said he thinks it's unquestionable for anybody to impose tax when it comes to Mumu. That is what he said. So why is he not speaking? Kwame, you as a journalist, how do you feel that as the head of the economic management team, with all this commentary going on, that the country's economy is in shambles, and yet the man who is in charge of economic management team, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia, is yet to speak, is yet to offer a word. Don't you feel scandalized as a journalist, Kwame? Oh, Kwame, the point is simple. How much have this government, after taking over in 2017, how much have they gotten in terms of revenue? You're talking about almost 500 billion Ghana cedis. How much are you going to get from ELV? 6.2 billion? And you're telling us that with all the 500 billion that has come to you in the name of revenue, all the things that you are telling Ghanaians that without ELV you cannot implement, you are telling us that 500 billion Ghana cedis was unable to implement all this. But yet you are banding your hope on 6.2 billion. How illogical can this be, Kwame? And Kwame, the point is this. we sit in this country, then you have an instance that the MPP government, and listen to the finance minister, said, oh, because of COVID, there's a revenue shortfall. Is that not what the finance minister is saying? Come in 2020, when there's a peak of COVID in this country, our revenue was 44.5 billion. And you remember the MPP government, led by the finance minister, said they have even exceeded their targets. That was in 2020 when the COVID was at its peak. In 2021, we increased it by 10 billion, that is 55.5 billion. So the argument about the fact that there's a shortfall of revenue because of COVID is neither here nor there, it's dead on arrival.
On the basis of the evidence that is before us.
Now, Kwame, the point is, another point is this. You have an instance where they said, oh, when the finance minister was then in opposition, I mean, you see, sometimes when I even sit down and I want to even watch some of the videos, some of the comments made by the finance minister, made by the current vice president, made by the president himself, when we're in opposition, when they were in opposition. And I just suppose that's what is currently happening. And the supposition that you have adopted, I ask myself, are these people principled? Where is the values? Where is the consistency? Where is the principle as a politician? Because, in fact, the issue about even in position of tax should not even arise as far as even the MPP are concerned. Because Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia told us that I've had an opportunity to work at Bank of Ghana before. Indeed, there's so much money in this country we don't need to borrow. These are not my words. These are the words of Elijah Mahmoud Bawumia, the current Vice President of the Republic of Ghana, head of our economic management team. These are some of the statements he made prior to the 2016 election. Kwame, what has changed? The president himself said, Ghana, we are sitting on tons of money. He doesn't understand the reason why we're going through the kind of problem that we're going through during the NDC time. What has changed? Has the money disappeared? What has changed? How much has this government borrowed? And what is there to show in terms of feasibility and verifiability? What is there to show, Kwame? What is there for the MPP to point to that almost about 500 billion in terms of revenue, almost about 244 billion that you have borrowed, what is there concrete to show to the good people of this country? Because indeed, if you are able to show us something, and you are coming for this delay, then Ghanaians would have stood to reason that on the basis of what you have used, the money that you have gotten in the past, these are the visible and verifiable things that we can attest to. Then indeed, you are more justifiable to impose this draconian level on the good people of this country. But there's absolutely nothing to show. So when I see this argument, it's not funny. People talk about COVID. But you see, we are not talking about the amounts of money this government got as a result of COVID. Funny.
The process that the World Bank is selling
anyway. Is that what they said? Today, the World Bank is telling us
the amount of money that they gave to the government of the Republic of Ghana
was almost about $485 million.
So all this while, we're being more or less conservative with respect to the figures.
They gave them $485 million United States dollars to the government of the Republic of Ghana to what we call to deal with the COVID issues. How much money did we receive from IMF? We received almost $1 billion.
The stabilization fund by President Mahama, we took $250 million. When it comes to the World Bank,
$100 million. When it comes to IMF, $2 billion. When it comes to European Union, we are talking about 85.6 million. All this money put together, tell us what this money was. Tell us what this money was expended on. Tell us something that you use this money for. So you are basically
interested to talk about COVID and the challenges that you pose to the economy.
You're not telling us how much you spend, the amount of money you got as a result of. What did you use that money for? Tell us. You are counting the people of this country that this is what I use the COVID money for. So he says you have an instance
where a government that has
arrogated to itself, oh, we are doing so well. But when you ask them the obvious question,
there's nothing to show.
The first thing they were talking about, oh, we are implementing what we call free education. Come in, how much do they spend when it comes to free education? So what the
MPP, NDC is
saying is simple. Mm-hmm. Can you cut down your profligate, expensive, luxurious lifestyle? Can you just do that?
Mm-hmm.
The corruption
we are talking, the
Auditor General report, 2020, is telling us that we lost an amount of 12.85 billion through irregularity, corruption, misappropriation. So you have left that money.
That money,
we have lost it as a result of corruption, irregularities, and what have you not. And then you are going after 6.2 billion. You think 6.2 billion is a game changer to transform this country? Now, when you are talking about road, we need G-Levy. When you are talking about school, we need G-Levy. When you are talking about this G-Levy, like Andrew Kwesi Perot aptly put it, succinctly, he said, you have become like Akuba, capable of dealing and curing every disease in this country. All the challenges that is confronting the good people of this country is only G-Levy that holds a panacea to deal with these problems. When did the MPP even come to the realization that they need? Imposition of tax is what solves a country's problem. So you see, Kwame, the NDC and its 137 gallant MPs in Parliament, questionable MPs, are saying that, listen, we will not allow the NPP government to further worsen the plight of the good people of this country. We will not allow the NPP government to collapse this country, because look at the rating, the Moody, the Fitch. And all of a sudden, President Nanadu Danko Akufo-Addo, who in 2015, prior to the 2016, was basically quoting rating agencies to justify why he thinks that the economy was in bad shape, all of a sudden, is now fighting against rating agencies. Can you? You see, that's why I'm saying the president has never been consistent, the president has never been principled. Because some of the things that he said prior to the 2016 election, all of a sudden, the president is running away from it. All the things the president made references to as the basis upon which this country was in a mess, all of a sudden, the president is running away from it. You remember during the ABC time, when they talk about debt to GDP ratio, 72%, oh, Kenneth Francis said, well, the country is in shambles, the country is in total mess. The country is at the point of irredeemable, the country, don't, you see, we are at the point of no redemption. Today, debt to GDP is 82%, including what we call it, ESLA.
In conclusion.
You see, in conclusion, Kwame, the NDC associates itself with the suffering masses. The NDC, just like President Mahama said, the NPP must swallow the pride and invite Ghanaians to the table so that Ghanaians will be able to express an opinion when it comes to how this country should be managed. The NDC is saying that Ghanaians are already suffering. Go to the market. Look at fuel prices. All of a sudden, fuel has gone beyond 7 Ghana cities. Where is Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia? When he was tweeting that Ghanaians are suffering, Ghanaians are suffering. What do you mean fuel was somewhere around, what do you call it, 14 Ghana cities? Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, the vice presidential candidate at that time, was creating a certain impression that he did. The NDC has put Ghanaians in an unbearable situation. All of a sudden, he's quiet. Look at the, what do you call the exchange rate. So what we are just simply saying is this. If the government can cut down its expenditure, if the president can stop renting luxurious, hyper, expensive private jets in the name of wanting to bath in the sky, it's enough to go raise enough revenue to deal with the problem that we are confronting the good people of this country. Exactly, because
right,
we will not allow this government to further worsen the plight of the good people of this country.
Very well, thank you. Hadia.
Kwame, you see, after the demonstration, everybody has a right to demonstrate, and I hope and pray that the demonstration will be peaceful, because they are going out there to register their displeasure, isn't it? But what I want the good people of Ghana to know is that whether NDC or MPP, they would have implemented e-levy. The only party that will not implement e-levy is CPP, because of what we have put in our manifesto. We said we will plug all the loopholes. We will not give multinationals, these foreign companies, maybe tax holiday about 6 years, 5 years. When they get all their profits, then they will declare bankruptcy and then sell it to another company, and they'll be milking the nation. We will prop all those loopholes. Why am I saying this? The NDC are in parliament. CPP, we said we don't want e-levy, but we don't have a vote in parliament. Do we have?
No.
We don't have. Demonstration, fine. But you demonstrate it by the thumb.
Like if you're not happy with the government, in 4 years' time, you use your thumb. Because it's just in the, yesterday I was listening to one of the radio stations. It just passed through my ear. Apparently, they also have it in their manifesto that they will implement. So that is why I'm facing the camera to take the good people of Ghana, NDCU, MPPU. They would have implemented ELEC.
For the record,
it's only
there's
it's
nothing
only,
like that in the NDC manifesto. For the record,
yesterday when the guy was saying it, that your this thing. So I went and did the research and looked for it.
Mm-hmm.
That their page 99 of their manifesto.
How you read it so that everybody will hear you?
No. Wait. So I just went, and this is the manifesto. But you know, it's a very detailed system. So I was suspecting. If I say something.
Section 8 and 7.
And 8 and 7. So I said, ah. So NDC, they are also saying they don't like. Ah, no wonder. That was why from the beginning their minority leader said he'll be comfortable with 1%. So they should tell us with the percentage that they are against, like the way CPP, we don't have it in our manifesto. And MPP, I don't think they have it in their manifesto, but they are just implementing it. It's unlike some after kind of decision that they do. But this is a situation where we have a voluminous document that has that. And the guy read it. So I went and said, I've never read NDC manifesto, but let me look for it. Because we have to tell the good people of Ghana the truth. How can we raise revenue? And the government too. Look, there are so many things that we can do in this country to plug the loopholes. My brother here talked about Auditor General. Wallahi, go and take from 1993. Auditor General's report. If we are able to chase the criminals and the thieves that stole Ghana money, wallahi, won't go for ELEC, won't go for loan, won't go for any IMF threat, and then nothing won't go. But we have less criminals to be walking on the street of Ghana. See, that is why we are in danger. That is why we have a problem. You understand? That is why we have a problem. From 1993, auditor's report is there. Written, red and black. And then people will come and say, I'm sorry. And then, you are sorry and you are stealing money. You understand? And then they want to squeeze those of us who don't have to pay more. That is where I have a problem. Let's plug the loopholes where we should raise revenues. And what have you, and I can tell you again, if it's NDC or MPP, they will implement ELEC.
No, that's not true.
They will.
No, that's
the party, they will never do that because we are the top bearer of African emancipation. That's the Convention People's Party. We will not do because we know the suffering of this country. And we have been in position since Liman time. So we are there with the downtrodden. You understand? So for me, the demonstration, they should go. It is their right. It is their right to demonstrate. And the police should give them the necessary protection because it is their right. What I will not expect is maybe a counter-demonstration as we saw in the Kome Prekon. That about 6 people died or something. I don't want to see that. But it is their right to demonstrate. You understand? But in demonstrating, we have to be honest and sincere with the good people of this country. I would have expected the NDC to rather to demonstrate their power in parliament.
They are doing that.
They have wanted
to.
Because demonstration cannot vote.
They can.
Those who are coming out to demonstrate, can they go and vote in parliament? No, they can't go and vote
it's
in parliament.
Signal.
Now, go and tell the people, you are also having a town hall meeting, tell the people who are, because I'm telling you, demonstrations in this country, at times I don't feel comfortable. Even though people have the right to demonstrate. At the end of the day, those who will be the beneficiary of the demonstration will not be affected, true or false. I'm asking, true or false? The beneficiary of the demonstration.
Who will be the beneficiary?
Those who virtually come. No! Those who virtually come to power. When NDP, Kome Prekon, who were the leaders of Kome Prekon? Koku Bakun, Kwesi Pratt, Sheshi, blah blah, we there, we are bojo at the back. You understand?
Back benches.
Isn't it? And then when they came to power, they increased it, isn't it? It was withdrawn, reintroduced gradually, and these people too, nicely packaged. So you see, now you don't know whom to trust. That is where we have found ourselves. But what we can do as Ghanaians is to is to haul all those who have taken money. And the Auditor General have proven that
not just the 2021, 20, from 1993. Somebody is compiling that. Do you know that? From 1993, auditor's report.
It has been always been e-levy, isn't it?
No, not e-levy. I'm saying the rot, the money people have chopped.
Yeah, of course,
and people have even gone to their graves to hand over the money to their grandchildren and their children, and they are enjoying. Meanwhile, we have to do that.
Okay.
You see, when we do that, then we have the moral right to even say Ghanaians, do this or don't do that.
Right.
When we have where we are going to get the money. Because so, yet is Picasso.
But
you can't come there.
Alright, thank you very much.
Sorry, for the record, this is the NBC manifesto. So maybe if I could be told where...
But you told, you said page 99,
page
8 and 7.
Page what? 99, okay.
With the rent issue.
Yes.
That's what I want to open it for you. Maybe
rent,
bring it.
Page 99,
and you give it to me. I need it.
Give it to Kwame. Then when you mention Kwame, we just...
No, I'll find it for you. Let's go to rent.
Let's
go to
rent.
Ask for
me.
Rent. I don't know whether I should say I am a proud rentee.
Promote digital financing to fair financial inclusion, financial deposit.
Can I go ahead with my
technology?
In the last 2007. Oh, are you people?
Go on.
Pay attention to me now. I'm talking about.
Let me just read this and then you talk about retelling. Page 99. 8.7a. The next NDC government. Okay, so let me just read a preamble. That's financial inclusion and electronic payment fintech. Financial inclusion and electronic payment fintech.
Yeah.
A higher level of financial inclusion will not only benefit the poor, create jobs, and reduce inequality, but will also grow the formal financial sector. Currently, Ghana's percentage of financial inclusion is estimated at 58% as at the end of 2017.
Financial inclusion.
And expected to increase to 75% by 2023. The next NDC government will A. promote digital finance to drive financial inclusion and financial development. B. Work with the various stakeholders in the financial and technology sectors to collaborate and design a resilient financial system through partnerships. C. Introduce a uniform transaction fee policy to guide the electronic payment industry. Work with merchants to encourage their clients to pay for goods and services electronically. Migrate and enforce all persons to government payment into. Honestly, it doesn't talk about the internet.
Exactly. So what are we talking about?
I've worked with the mobile money. What they are saying here is
the vendors, they are going to work with the vendors.
Yeah, so what they are saying is that they will introduce a uniform transaction because currently when you do the interoperability, for instance, you transfer money from MTN to TV, you pay more.
I'll take it to life.
They wanted to introduce a uniform system.
Exactly.
Whether you transfer from MTN to Tigo.
You pay the same thing.
Exactly. Across the board.
Exactly.
No.
Let's talk about it.
But it's still e-transaction. That's not e-transaction.
Let me talk about my rent money. I said I'm a proud
rentee.
Since 2007, that I finished.
And you're ready,
I finished.
The same place.
I finished national service.
2007.
Yes.
2007.
I finished Legon in 2006. So 2007, I had to do national service. And my parents live in Kaswa. I still do live there. So, I mean, when you're doing national service at Lagos, there's no way you could have been coming from Kaswa for work. So I had to rent.
When I was living in traffic at that time.
Yes, I started living at Abelinkpe. That's where I rented my first.
My
first. Oh, my father did it.
Okay.
I have to say thank you.
That
for me and my father. Everybody who lives
with
me. Dada B.
It's not a matter of just the Dada B. I'm his first girl. I'm the first of three
girls.
And so that's one year. Me and my father. So
you're
daddy did that for me the first time.
Yeah.
After the first time, daddy said, it is okay, you're a big girl now. Start renting your house. So when that year ended, I had to start renting. And I have been renting from then since now.
Good.
So I have, where I'm living now It's my about, I think my 10th
wow.
rental place. Yes. And I'm the guy I won't go back home to. It's not as if my father doesn't have a place. I prefer to be independent.
Exactly.
And I'm sure a lot of young ladies like me and young people want to be independent. So
sure.
You don't want to live in our parents' house. So me, when you're talking about rent in Accra, hey, I have experience though, my dear. From getting, the money is an issue. I'll come to that. But when you struggle and you get the money, if you don't take care, by the time you get a place to live, you have dissipated all your money.
Agent.
Dishonest landlord.
Yeah.
People who don't own the building and they'll tell you they are the owners, they'll collect their money. In fact, by the time you go there, if you're a woman, your case is extra. You have to think about security. You have to seriously think about security, wherever you are living, especially if you're a single woman. It's a whole headache. I have gone through it in the past from 2007 to now, that's how many years. So it should tell him. When I moved out of Accra and I moved to Wenche, I had to go and work there. I also had to rent a place. That's when you move out of Accra or the big cities, it is a bit better.
Yeah.
You get better housing for cheaper prices.
Sure. No,
like
but in the big cities, so me, I have been a small city dweller. I have been a big city dweller in my last home in over 10 years. The rent matters. In fact, this year, as I speak, my rent is up. Good morning, my landlady. I have to greet her. And the money you have to pull up and go and pay the rent. I hear I was on a program with a gentleman from the rent agency, rent control, and they were saying that this year, they have a database, assembly by assembly, district assembly by district assembly, where they are now going to put in all properties that are meant for rental.
Mm-mm.
Oh, let me explain now. All properties that are meant for rental. So if you need to rent a house, you have to go there and go and check. If you have to renew your property or your rent, you have to go there. Now the question I ask, implementation. We have all these beautiful laws on rent.
Sure.
How many of them have been implemented? And then the next question I ask, please, so the rent I'll pay to my landlady, and I'll pay. Will government take tax out of that one? How is the process done? Because the amounts of money that are being raised as rent. And then those of you in the real estate industry, Kwame, you are in it, so I'll ask you. Those on unoccupied houses, all of our
crap
that people are selling, some of the houses have been on the market for 5-6 years.
Yes.
Are those killer prices, cutthroat prices? Can't we do anything about it? As industry players with government, so that you can rent out those properties or sell them out at a cheaper price. As I said, and I mean, I don't make qualms about my age. This year I'll be 40 years. I've been working practically all my adult life.
You know why you don't make qualms about
how it? Am I? Oh, yeah, lots of people hide their age. Me, I'm not one of those. How am I going to buy a house with your present killer prices? Just before we came up, I was saying that still some of the rents that people pay, it can even be down payments for some houses.
Yeah.
Sure, that's true.
So the rental authority, and this I'll be on my brother, Honorable Carlson, Asensubuachi. I know he's seriously working on getting these things, but these are some of the things they should consider. The young people who can raise rent of 10,000. If a young person can raise rent of 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 for 2-3 years, that person can use that as a down payment for a house. So that the rental that you pay for the house every month, if it's 1,000 cedis, 700 cedis, you pay it monthly to the real estate owner. And within 2-3 years, I'm sure you'll be done. Let's look at all these things because it is a headache.
That is why we're introducing
Tosakos.
If you have rental challenges, if you are unable to buy properties, and
we have a problem in this country.
I'll let you go.
We have a serious problem in this country. Our laws are not working.
But they are there
in such a way that
that's true.
A student or maybe a graduate from the University of Ghana, UDS, KEPCOS will finish. He or she has gotten a job somewhere and accommodation becomes
a problem.
Meanwhile, the estate industry, real estate industry, are milking the nation. Because you cannot be owning a whole vast of land with estate, and you are even selling or collecting rent, and not paying anything to the government. Now, the MMDC, yesterday I saw, is it today's paper, Honorable Dambocho, he is a local government minister, saying that the assembly should be innovative. Government too are pampering the MMDCs too much, because like KMA, AMA, TMA, they have no business for government to give them anything to run their
district.
I agree. That's what I agree with you.
Even university.
You understand? So many of the districts, you can even generate funds internally.
Yeah.
You understand?
Sasako is under which
because if it's anything at all,
Sasako,
let me
zone.
You see,
Adentan.
You see, there's a
why should Adentan
look
collecting some of the
look. There's a simple way. Every area has its design. When you go to the land commission or something, this is the map of Kwabena. Okay, so government can even allow the people there, that's the district assembly, to give special numbers to the houses that are located in the Madina La Quantana.
Yeah.
Then they have the data of those houses, not rent, not rental. Property rates, that's number one. Before you identify homes that are being rented. Because now, a chamber and hall self-contained costs about 450 to 450 in Ashoma,
Kwabena. Yeah.
At the end of the month, they take 2 years advance.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply 450 by 12 times 2. How many young men like Bless can just go and rent such an apartment? The rent control, they just came to talk blah, 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 blah. They are not implementing the laws. Mm. Because in abroad, where they go and work and even get dollars, they don't pay 6 months rent advance. But people can even have the infantry, the audacity to advertise that they should come and rent and they need 2 years advance.
3 years.
And I don't see the security agencies chasing them. You understand?
But how
who is going to report? Wait. My sister, wait. The issue is that we have failed as a nation. Because there shouldn't be 3 laws or 2 laws in this country. No. And then you have a situation because of the way they are charging the rent. Ghanaians are now running away to Eburi and to rent houses. That is why when we are coming to work in Accra, Shiashi is choked. Amasaman is choked because we are all run away from the
transfer
because we cannot pay the rent that are being charged here. It is occupied by Nigerians, Liberian, Chinese, Indians, and
Lebanese.
What kind of rubbish is that?
But they will tell you that
So there are no laws. The laws are not working because Ghanaians should feel free to work where they will be comfortable and go to work for proper productive.
Yeah.
We are not doing that.
Anyway.
We are not doing that.
Hopefully we'll be able
so
to do
I think we should do it in such a way that we can, let me tell you, if we look at the Auditor General report from 1993 to 2000 that we owe, how many billion? 4 point something billion. Okay, that's one aside. Judgment debt that were paid wrongly. Another one. People who have took money that they are not supposed to chop. Another one. And rents. And then, what's the name? Property rate. Well, like we have no business going to IMF or World Bank for them.
Or even imposing.
And even the tax exemption for these.
Exactly.
No, I said it from the beginning.
Bank,
I said, do you have it in our manifesto?
Kwame, you see.
So now I don't even know what I'm
going to
how?
Kwame, the truth is, this issue about rent, like my sister
said,
it's a serious matter. Kwame, you see, for instance, this is a national service student who was posted to Accra, has no relative in Accra, must look for an accommodation.
Mm.
And sometimes even getting an accommodation like Haji alluded to is offskirts of Accra. And now, offskirts of Accra, what it simply means is even that allowance alone will be consumed by transportation.
Yeah,
And you see, I keep on asking myself a simple question, Kwame. We claim that there's a law in our books that govern the rent control regime or the rent regime.
Mm.
And yet, we are told that, even a landlord cannot take exceeding either 6 months, we're told, cannot take this amount of money and what have you. And yet, when you even go looking for an apartment to rent, I mean, even the amount of money they mention, like my sister Ellen said, some of them are even down payments, right, for even estate houses.
Yeah.
So you see, I like what she just said. She said, listen, can there be a policy? Now listen, I mean, it's obvious that even in Accra here, the influx of people coming to Accra, because obviously it's the nation's capital, and people think that this is where we can access job opportunities and what have you. But Kwame, see, I'm telling you to the Kwame, even some marriages are collapsing because of this rent matters. I'm telling you, because somebody is unable to even bring the wife to work in Accra, because I'm just living in a single room, just stay wherever you are. You understand? And Kwame, the problem is, even young guys who are even thinking of entrepreneurship skills, businesses, because even when they are going to rent a space, to start business, it's a problem.
You have to do it in your bedroom.
Like my sister is saying, I mean, sometimes even places like the Spinters or what have you, how much it costs for people to rent even for a month. Recently, there was something that was even on Facebook. Yes, Timber Hostel contains. Someone ran around the park.
Sell online.
Kwame,
because
it was costing. Kwame, it was costing $1,500. Yes, single self contain.
Where?
I mean, it was on Facebook. I think they advertised it around the East Lagos.
Yeah.
And even in La Paz, Timber Hostel contain was costing $1,600.
La Paz, yeah.
Yes. Kwame, the point, like my sister said, if you're not, if you are very good, that's the point. So the demand for it is so high.
Yeah,
the demand for it is so high.
The problem is even that, even if you are not happy with it, what can you do?
You are having a report.
By the time you come back,
somebody
is taking it.
No, you see,
Kwame, that's what I'm saying. Like my sister, you see, that is why, even what happened in other jurisdictions, for anybody to place a property for rent, it must go through certain channels. Because when you allow people to advertise it themselves, and people go and say, listen, I want to rent it. Kwame, whilst you are even negotiating, at the point of negotiating, can you take 50 Ghana cedis off?
Let me tell
somebody
you,
can.
Country, that is why lands are not for anybody.
Let me tell you, I used to rent...
But here, you have your property on the land.
Kwame, in concluding, yeah. That is why for me, the issue about agreement, right,
yeah,
should not be left to be brought.